back. Alyssa, what did you see last night?
I saw an exquisite play. If you're in New York, check it out. An Enemy of the People, starring Jeremy Strong and Michael Imperioli. It is so pertinent to our political times, even though it takes place a couple hundred years ago. Highly recommend it.
I could recommend one, too, that I saw Doubt the other day. With Liev Schreiber. He should come on this show. Very interesting about the abuse scandal in the Catholic Church.
Yes. Speaking of the Catholic Church. Pope Francis is sharing the incredible...
Yeah. Sorry.
That's all right.
I love him, though.
He's
He is great.
The best
That's why
ever.
We're talking about his book.
Yeah. Is the world flat?
Yes.
I never thought about it, Whoopi.
He's cute. White, but cute.
That is Whoopi Goldberg in Ghost.
That's correct.
Oh,
was
my
that
God.
Too easy?
I think that that was easy, like, mostly because I feel like we watched it within the last couple years and process of elimination. Because now that we've, as we keep going, now there's, like, certain movies that I'm assuming we've already covered. I mean, you could do repeats and keep me on my toes, but that just, like, that felt like her ghost character.
It was her ghost character. I'm realizing as I try to pull a quote every week that I actually haven't seen as many Whoopi Goldberg movies as I thought, like, of her iconic ones.
There's a lot left for us to explore, I think.
So, I don't know how many you have seen, but... this could get tricky.
I haven't seen Soap Dish. Have you?
No. Is that the one with Mary Louise or is
it's
that
like,
different?
It's,
that's Sally Fields.
Yes.
No, Sally I haven't
Field.
Seen it.
It's, yeah, that's the one that's like a big famous cast and like they're all in the poster. Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I feel like it's something that we're supposed to see. Like, we were supposed to get that DVD in the mail at some point as gay people, and we just didn't.
I didn't get it, but it probably came out, what year do you think? It probably came out, like...
It's 91.
Yeah, and I was born in 2003, so...
yeah, good point.
Anyways, great to have you back. Did you want to explain yourself at all, or no? Just we're going to act like nothing happened.
No, I think everything that needs to be said has been said.
Okay.
I want to say
sitting on any secrets.
I want to say I was listening to the last episode that I was like properly on and I sounded so sick. Like I remember I think at the beginning when we sat down to record it and I don't think we were recording yet. I think I admitted to you that I was, like, getting over a cold, but in my mind, I was, like, I was so much better than I had been, and I was almost fully recovered, and I didn't think it was noticeable that I was sick. And then I listened to it, and I was like, this is someone who should be on bed rest. So I apologize for everyone. And now as I'm saying it, I am hyper aware that there's spring allergies afoot, and I probably also sound congested right now, but at least right now I'm willing to stand in my truth and not deny it and not try to pretend like it's not happening.
I actually think if we were to do a tally of like episodes where you were sick and episodes where you were not sick, there would be more where you were sick, whether that is stomach related, cold and flu related, or other.
You're right.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
And now for the news. This is from the U.S. Sun.
Okay.
Sock it to her. The View's Whoopi Goldberg ditches on-set duds for baggy sweater and socks with sandals as she visits Realtor. Why did I say Realtor like that?
Realtor. I was like... Is that something? Like, is Realtor something?
The View star, Whoopi Goldberg, has revealed her...
As she, as she tours the real set. As she goes on the real tour.
Let me read the news. Whoopi shed the threads she sported on The View on Thursday and put on an ensemble more aligned with her personality to walk through the world in. Today, the U.S. Sun exclusively obtained pics of the TV host, 69, as she was heading off to visit her realtor. The morning show anchor looked cozy in her denim jeans and white button-down shirt. Over her shirt was a multicolored jacket that was on the baggier side. Whoopi paired her jacket with a tan and red scarf, pulling the entire outfit together with thick white socks and croc-looking sandals.
That moment when you shed your daytime TV outfit to wear an outfit that more aligns with your personality to go and move about in the world.
It says her dreadlocks were pulled back into a ponytail, and she wore her signature glasses. Whoopi appeared to jet out of the studio where The View was filmed after she finished taping the March 7th episode to handle some business.
It's so crazy because the outfit that you've described, I can think of like numerous times on The View that she's worn this exact outfit. So I want to know, like, what do they think that Whoopi wears on The View?
This is what's so funny is in this article, they actually attached a photo of Whoopi on The View and put it right next to her handle some business clothes. And they are very similar materials and it's almost identical to what she wears. Anyways, I just thought that was funny.
A croc-like sandal.
Like, surely she could afford a croc sandal. And not have to purchase a croc-looking sandal. Speaking of socks.
Yeah.
Because the headline of this article was Sock It to Her. Hmm. Can you tell that there's a sock on my microphone right now?
Oh, my God. No.
So I don't know what happened, but I lost the, like, foam thing that goes over the microphone.
Wait, how did you lose it? Like, when did you ever take it off?
I only have, like, one table in my home. So, yes. At some point, I, like, threw laundry over top of the microphone. Uh-huh. And it got lost in the shuffle. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened. But luckily, I had a sock. So I put it over top of the microphone.
Do you think that it's doing the same job as the foam?
Well, you tell me, how do I sound?
I think that it sounds like you, you've dipped your toes into it.
What does that mean?
No, I think it sounds good.
Great.
I mean, they are called wind socks, are they not?
I figured that's why...
The actual name, the technical term is windsock, so one would think that an actual sock wouldn't be that far off.
That's why I didn't hesitate. I barely even looked for the thing. I just grabbed the nearest sock and said, that'll do. But back to the news. Anyways, did you have a chance to see anything that happened on The View today? We're recording this midweek.
I saw Tuesday's episode, but I did not see today's episode in full.
Today they were talking about Beyonce and her country or her
yes
potentially country album, and Sarah said something that I thought was funny.
Yes,
you did see this.
I saw this part. Yeah.
So like they're explaining about Beyonce's Instagram post where she's like alluded to making this album because of an experience where she didn't feel welcome, which is like clearly her performance with the Chicks at the CMAs. And Sarah was the first one to speak on this. And she was like, one thing you don't know here is when I was younger, I was a part-time country music DJ.
Yeah, I wrote the same thing down. I never expected it, but then at the same time, not surprised. I think that Sarah has done every single job. Like, I think that she's had every job.
Yeah, I do feel like it's no accident that Sarah has made it to where she is today. Mm-hmm. Because she has done every job and to the point where there were no other jobs left that she hadn't done.
And that's why she's so good on What Would You Do? Because she's actually done everything. So she knows exactly what she would do.
Did you see actually something kind of funny happened today where like Beyonce released some photography for the album that she's wearing a sash and it says Beyonce?
Okay.
Did you see this?
And yeah.
So my friend Polly messaged our group chat and was like, Beyonce, like, what does this mean? Beyonce. And me, like, knowing everything about Tina Knowles' life, I was like, oh, well, that's just Tina Knowles' like surname, Beyonce. Because are you aware?
You've told me. Yeah, you have told me this before.
Like, what happened was when Beyonce's mother was born to her parents, whose last name was Beyonce, there was like a typo on her birth certificate. I guess it wouldn't have been a typo, but it would have been, it was like a mistake on her birth certificate. And they misspelled her last name, Beyonce, as Beyonce.
Okay.
And then she went on to name her daughter Beyonce, which is like based off of a mistake on her birth certificate.
Right.
And so I explained what that was. And then I was like, for my next TED Talk, I'll explain to you why Beyonce is also French Canadian. Because, like, a lot of people don't know that Miss Tina Knowles also has Acadian roots.
That is so crazy. It's so crazy that Beyonce, but, like, it's so crazy that Tina Knowles and Luann De Lesseps have Acadian and New Brunswick roots.
For anyone who doesn't know, in Canada, there's not just like French people in Quebec, but there also are French people in the Maritimes that are Acadian, and it's like their own kind of culture that's distinct from Quebec. And when they first,
so there was this group of like Acadians and they were like kicked out of like where they were. And like, so when this group of people was kicked out and exiled from like the land that they had settled on, they went to like different areas, and like some of them went to Louisiana. And so, and this is like, this is a very, very like abbreviated version of it. And so there's like, there's Acadian people in Louisiana and Acadian people in like Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. So like Creole and like the Acadian kind of like dialect in Louisiana is like very similar to the dialect that you would hear from Acadian people in the Maritimes.
And also like Tina Knowles is, according to her Wikipedia page, it says she's actually a direct descendant of an Acadian leader named Joseph Broussard.
Okay.
It's not just like, oh, she's probably a descendant of New Brunswick. It's like, no, she literally is very, like, famously a descendant of Acadian people. Therefore, Beyonce is not only Canadian, but a Maritimer.
That is so crazy. And that also makes, like, so much more sense to me about why you feel so close to her.
And if anyone tries to challenge this, these facts that are facts, I don't even want to hear it.
This is like when we spoke about Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan. And like when I'm, you know, like when we're like giving a very quick summary of something, we're telling you, we're pulling the most interesting parts out of the story. And sometimes there's like a little bit of like, you know, editing that happens. And maybe we're not 100% factual, but the basic story is there. And that's, and so you don't need to worry about the rest.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about the rest.
So can I read you another article that I saw about something that happened on The View?
Please do.
Oh my God, that's a really hard word to say. The View fans mercilessly mock Long Island medium Teresa Caputo over her ridiculous hair as they joke she must have spirits hiding under the voluminous dew. Long Island Medium star Teresa Caputo was mercilessly mocked for her voluminous hairdo following an appearance on The View, with some people even joking that she could be hiding a spirit underneath her impressive locks. The 56-year-old psychic medium is known for her exaggerated blonde hairstyle, and Friday was no exception as she joined Joy Behar, Sarah Haynes, Anna Navarro, Sunny Hostin, and Alyssa Farah Griffin at the Hot Topics table, sporting her larger-than-life locks. The mother of two, who reduced Sunny and Anna to tears when claimed to have made contact with their late relatives, was her usual glamorous self, dressed in a black and white checked blazer dress, but it was her hair that caught everyone's attention, with one viewer describing it as being as high as heaven. Taking to X, formerly known as Twitter, another person posted, "That lady got some hair."
Oh my God.
While another joked, "No, Teresa, the medium affecting the ozone layer, how many cans of hairspray did she use today?"
Oh my God.
Definitely a Long Island girl. Someone else tweeted, "I'm always looking to see something or someone to pop out of her hair any minute," while another asked, "Does she live in Texas? Everything is bigger in Texas. Are there spirits hiding under that hair?" Oh boy, that hair has become a caricature of itself, one viewer claimed, while another accused Teresa's hair of not being real. "Looks like that wig is trapping some spirits." A different user posted, "Hashtag Teresa Caputo hair is... it's too much. Reminds me of the 70s. It looks like a dam."
Oh my referring, God.
Referring to Teresa's line of work, another viewer joked, "Maybe a spirit should chat with her about her hair." And someone else suggested that one of the View hosts should mention her hairstyle and posted, "Is anyone going to ask Teresa about her hair? I mean, I've never seen anything like it. How did they not asking, girl, what the fuck is up with your hair?" The former TLC star was on The View to promote her new television show, Teresa Caputo, Raising Spirits, and explained to the panel how the pandemic made her want to return to TV. Yeah, that I think that was about it about the hair.
It's like, do they, not, have they missed the entire, like her whole career? And how her hair has always been huge. Like, why would they bring up her hair when it's never not been big?
That's her whole thing, is that she has the 80s hair. And her commitment to maintaining this hair is one of the keys to her success. It's why she's even here on The View.
And it's
branding,
like,
mama. It's branding.
It's, like, well documented in Long Island Medium. Like, her hair prep, and the amount of time it takes her to do her hair and the dedication to doing it is, like, well documented in nearly every episode of Long Island Medium, of which I've seen all of them. So, like, what's new? Like, where's the news here? I thought that someone would at least be, like, raising spirits, more like racing hair.
Yeah.
Long Island medium, more like Long Island large hair.
This sort of thing is just like what the Daily Mail thrives off of, though. Like, this is a 10 out of 10, like, perfect piece for the Daily Mail. And yeah. I'm so glad that someone took the time to do this research and compile these comments. What did you think of Teresa Caputo on The View? Were you surprised to see her?
I was actually very pleasantly surprised. I used to love Teresa. I also just want to clarify, like, in every other context I've ever seen her in, her name is pronounced Teresa Caputo. But on The View, Joy Behar was saying Caputo.
That's what I've been saying.
As an Italian... I just trust that Joy is pronouncing it correctly, and that for decades everyone else has been saying it wrong. So for the sake of this podcast, I'm going to also say Caputo. Anyway, I've been a fan of Teresa Caputo for a really long time. And then when the show ended, it was like, oh, okay, like, guess that's over. I read her first book, There's More to Life Than This. So when I saw that she was on The View, I was like, finally, like, something to talk about.
Yeah, this is a perfect guest booking. Couldn't ask for more. To have RuPaul on the show,
oh my
and
God.
Then a few weeks later have Teresa, like, They're delivering.
Whoever is booking the show this, like, in the last few months, bravo. My hat's off. My raising hairline.
Marie is tipping her dread to you.
I'm tipping my teased bangs to them because really good. I think that the most interesting and, like, exciting part that it was unexpected was that Teresa did a reading of Sunny and Anna. And I don't know about you. I was crying. It was, I don't think I've ever seen a more captivating segment. Maybe, this is for me personally, maybe in like 5 years.
I thought it was just crazy to see Anna and Sunny be so emotional and for it to not be Sarah doing the segment, because mm-hmm. it's usually Sarah that they put in a segment like this. Mm-hmm. And we have seen Sarah be vulnerable and cry on the show many times before. We've even seen Whoopi cry and be vulnerable on the mm-hmm. show, but we don't see that as much from Sunny and Anna. So it was crazy to see them just like in pieces listening to Teresa.
It was so unexpected and so moving, and I loved it.
Remember the part where Teresa turned to Anna and was like, oh, was it the chest?
And like,
I had chills.
As someone who has like watched her do this so many times before, I was like, I know what that means. Because she
I was
always,
thinking the same thing.
She it's, always has like there's certain specific signs that spirit gives her, and they all mean a really specific thing. So I was like, oh my God, like,
I know.
The fluid. It's the fluid.
I've been watching her for so long now that like the when she brought up the red cardinals, and I was like, here we go. There's something Anna's not putting together. Her loved ones are around her and she doesn't even realize it.
And when she was like, I'm seeing like young man. And for me, when I say young, I was like, she doesn't even to finish her sentence. She means someone who was gone before you felt it was their time. She hit like, I'm not trying to like trivialize or like minimize what she did, but it was like, she hit all of those like points that she like, the staples in her readings that yeah. she does, where it was like, oh my God, yes, like I know what this is.
That's also like kind of why I've lost interest in that type of television show, though, because when Teresa first came out, it was all very interesting, but mm-hmm. now I just find it very repetitive. And same with like the Hollywood medium.
Yeah,
they kind of just say the same things over and over again, and it's a little bit repetitive.
That's like how I felt for a long time too, but then seeing Teresa on The View like reawakened something inside of me, because then immediately after I went to YouTube and looked up all of her other recent appearances, and she did one on the Kelly Clarkson show where she like had to get up from her chair because spirit was pulling her all over the audience as it does. And she like had two like big readings with people from the audience, and like it kept cutting to Kelly in the background, and Kelly was openly being like, what the fuck? What? Kelly was like live reacting to what was happening. And I was like, oh, I'm back. Like, she's got me hooked again. So I think I actually will be tuning in to Raising Spirits with Teresa Caputo, because I think I'm just back.
Right.
Not to stray too far from the topic, but speaking of raising, something else was raised in this episode, and that was Sarah's hemline. because I think this is maybe the boldest wardrobe choice I've ever seen on The View, was that Sarah was wearing, it wasn't a crop top, it was actually like, it was very much like a shirt that like Britney Spears or like Jessica Simpson would have worn. Jessica something or other would wear in like the height of their career. Like, it was like a white midriff showing but long sleeve top, and it was very like fashion for right now. It was like in. I just didn't think that Sarah Haynes would be wearing that on daytime TV. And that, I mean, if no one was going to talk about Teresa's hair, no one else was going to talk about Sarah's top. And we all just like politely ignored the wardrobe choices that were happening that day.
Not everyone can do that. Not everyone can wear a crop top to a segment about deceased loved ones, but Sarah can.
And do it, and she can do it gracefully.
With so much grace.
Yeah. Something that I didn't know, and I don't know if you knew this, but Joy wrote a play called Get Me Teresa Caputo.
Yes, she talked, so they, in the interview with Teresa afterwards, she talked about that, and I didn't realize that it was part of her Bonkers in the Berserkshire. No. It was called, so she wrote a series of short plays, mm-hmm. and they were called Bonkers in the Burrows.
In the Berserkshire. Right. And one of them was about
Get Me Teresa Caputo.
Right. And it's like about mediums.
And at first I thought that Joy would be like a skeptic of someone like Teresa, mm-hmm. but then she like immediately revealed that she actually is like a fan.
Yeah.
There's also in that series of plays, there's like one of the five is called Greasing the Squeak.
I just like, we gotta get our hands on a copy of these.
I know. Also, on the note of like assuming that Joy would be more skeptic of someone like Teresa, I then remembered that Joy has said that she has had sex with ghosts on The View.
You're and right.
I did think it was a little bit of a missed opportunity to not pick that phantom thread back up and ask Teresa a bit about that.
Yeah. You're so right, because Joy, at the end, like, I think to try to lighten things up, she was like, hey, like, do you also do other things? Like, do you find people? Because you know how sometimes, like, in the news and stuff, you hear about, like, a psychic, like, or a medium knew where this missing person was? And Teresa, like,
Patricia Arquette.
And Teresa thinks that, that she's, like, asking, like, setting her up for a serious question. And so she's like, well, like, what do you mean? And Joy's like, well, for one, Kate Middleton. Really good gag in there. But also, Joy said to Teresa, because like afterwards when they got back from the clip where she had done the reading and everyone was really emotional, Joy said to Teresa, you're the new Barbara Walters because you make everyone cry. And that, I was like, wait a second. Like, that made me think of, wait, what if Teresa was always here? What if Teresa was always on the panel and at the end of like a regular interview, she's like, can I ask you something? There's a mother stepping forward. Does that mean anything to you?
Yeah, like there's like in a world where when Joy said, you're the new Barbara Walters, she meant like, no, literally, you are now the executive producer of The View and you will moderate the panel. Thank exactly. you.
And like the next time Amy Klobuchar is on, Teresa's just like, I'm so sorry, but does red mean anything to you? I'm seeing red roses, like, and then we just get that interview. I would suddenly be more interested in the Amy Klobuchar interview.
I'm also realizing like another missed opportunity. Can you imagine a world where Joy was the one getting the reading?
Oh my god.
And Barbara comes through and they had that like on television.
That would be crazy. Because I actually had those two thoughts separate. I was like, I wonder what the reading would be like for Joy. And then when Teresa was doing it with Sunny and Anna, I did think like, oh my god, like, what if like Barbara said something, like passed on a message?
Imagine she like gave notes.
The table is too big.
Is too many co-hosts.
I'm hearing something about a Friday girl. Does that mean anything to you?
Get the fag off the TV. I'm not watching that. Another thing that happened a while ago that I famously didn't really get to discuss on the podcast because it happened the day that I recorded the last episode, mm-hmm. was the sliming segment.
Yes. I've seen the sliming a couple of times, I'll be honest.
Were you familiar with the show that they were promoting before this segment?
I didn't know what show that was. And I think it's like they were almost promoting like a show within a show. I didn't know about the musical or about the actual Nickelodeon show, because I think in Canada we got served, which I didn't realize was like a knockoff. We got Uh-Oh.
Yeah.
And in Uh-Oh, it was like trivia and stuff and sliming. And I always thought that Uh-Oh was like an original thing, but I didn't know that this whole time Nickelodeon was doing its like own version of that, that we probably copied.
Yeah, we got Uh-Oh and they got Double Dare.
Mm-hmm.
So never heard of the show, but they did a whole entire like set design for it and then participated in like a round of trivia and fun and games, which I now, having seen this with my own eyes, there was so much more going on than just a sliming like I had thought originally.
Yeah.
Like, it was very interesting the way that they opened with this man on this like very bright and colorful little kids show set.
Mm-hmm.
And the hosts are all wearing these fun t-shirts, except for Whoopi. And then, like, I was like, okay, here we go. Let's get this trivia started. And instead, they proceed to do this, like, very serious interview.
Yeah.
Where, like, he starts to say, like, basically that he's been out of work. Like, he was at his lowest, fat, nasty, broke. And then now he came on Double Dare mad as hell, finally. And it's like, as, like, they're asking these questions, like, Sarah is, like, standing there in the little kid's t-shirt, like, frowning as he, like, discusses, like, his OCD problems and leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what?
Like, why are we doing it on this set? Like, couldn't we have done two segments? Like, couldn't we have had an interview and then come to the fun set?
I don't know. It just was, like, trying to do two things at once. It was, like, trying to do, like, the regular The View, but then also cramming in like a kid's show. It was just very interesting. And then they were just like, okay,
time to milk the cow.
It really was a roller coaster of emotions, because they did this like really serious interview, and then they bring up Rosie and Elizabeth Hasselbeck, and then they're like, and now we're gonna humiliate Sarah and Alyssa
with a hazing. I did really enjoy watching it all in all. However, I think the trivia was not nearly as exciting as Deja the View's The Weakest Link. But they can't all be us.
Yeah. I think that it, like, I never thought that this would happen. And I don't think Alyssa thought it would happen either, because, not to skip ahead over the sliming, but later on, like the week after that, they were talking about a completely different topic altogether on the show. And Alyssa said, the only consistent thing in life is that it's unpredictable. I worked at the Department of Defense and then I got slimed last week.
Yeah.
And like, that is kind of, that summarizes it perfectly, because one day they're interviewing presidential nominees, or one day they're interviewing VP Kamala Harris. And like, the next week, Alyssa's getting slimed.
Mm-hmm. Mama, kudos for saying that.
For sliming.
For spilling the slime. Yeah. And then, of course, like, when they did slime Alyssa for her punishment,
mm-hmm.
Whoopi signed off the show with, "We want you to take a little time to enjoy the view, but first, enjoy this view of Alyssa getting her slime." But then she didn't really get it. Like, it kind of missed her. So I would have liked a little more slime. But anyways.
It wasn't like that clip from like the teen or whatever, the kids awards, the Nickelodeon. You know what I'm trying to say.
Katy Perry.
when she opens the box and it's like, it's just violent amounts of slime coming at her at unsafe speeds. It wasn't like that.
When is someone going to interview Katy Perry and talk about that or like have her make a TikTok reacting to that and explaining like, what that felt like to get blasted in the face with that much slime at that vicinity. Like, when is a TikToker going to deliver that to us? And while we're at it, when is someone going to ask Fergie about the time that she did a cartwheel on the Today Show and it was like, when? Like, when is someone going to ask the questions that we need answers on?
I think that that's, like, actually a really good concept for a show or something. Or I don't know if it's a show or a podcast or what. But I think that, or a segment on The View where they're on a game show set.
It's a movie.
I think it's a movie. Spirit's telling me it's a movie. I'm seeing a film reel. And I think that, like, there needs to be someone who sits these people down, people who are, like, the subject of these, like, infamous clips that are, like, so ingrained in our brains, and sits them down and is like, tell me about that. Because, like, these are the things that no one talks about.
Moments from pop culture that are ingrained in my mind forever or whatever. Like, moments from pop culture that live in my head rent-free.
There needs to be, like, the way that Barbara Walters would do, like, her, you know, 10 influential people of the year. Teresa Caputo, since she's the new Barbara Walters, needs to sit these people down and be like, these were the moments of the year that I need you to explain.
Yeah. Look at this.
Yeah.
Take responsibility for this.
Yeah.
We have a DM to read. And it's from the most anonymous username ever, which we love. We support Anon.
What is it?
At NGF.
Wow. Okay.
Hey, Deja. With the appearance from the podcast Number One Enemy and Mansplainer, Jonathan Carl, it got me thinking about the lack of interesting political guests The View has had on. It seems like the show only has on center-left or non-Trump Republicans, i.e. Liz Cheney or former Trump staffers, Alyssa Vera Griffin. And it hasn't provided much, if any, debate or interesting TV. As you have discussed in the past, they rarely have on progressives to debate the co-host from the left. Similarly, the show has not had any Trump-aligned guests lately as well, although I can understand why. In the past, controversial guests like Ann Coulter have provided some of the best View moments, and I do think the co-host could effectively push back on any lies and provide an interesting debate. Do you agree that the political guests have been a bit bland and have... any thoughts on how The View should handle this? I will start.
Please do.
I do think this season, maybe it's like this every year and I just don't remember properly, but it seems like they either weren't interested in interviewing all of the, like, Republican candidates. And they weren't interested, certainly, in introducing anyone challenging Biden. That's clear. But it seems like maybe they actually just struggled with booking some of them. Like, you would think that they would have been able to book Nikki Haley. But maybe in this day and age, maybe someone like Nikki Haley doesn't want to go on The View anymore. In the way that, like, in the past, like, Carly Fiorini... is that how you say her name?
I think it's pronounced Rae Jepsen.
That's right. So in the past, like, I remember in, like, 2016, that lady,
mm-hmm.
I remember, like, Michelle Collins, like, said something, like, made fun of her, like, maniacal smile or something. And it was, like, kind of a controversy. But then she still came on The View.
Yeah.
So I don't know. In this day and age, like, why they don't, like, why Nikki Haley wasn't on. I guess they had on Chris Christie, but it's like he worked for ABC. Like, it's not like that, like, big of a get.
Dropped out the week later.
Yeah, but I don't know what to say.
I mean, maybe
that's a question not for Deja the View Pod, but maybe you should write to the Brian Tedda podcast.
BehindTheTable@gmail.com.
Exactly.
I kind of also feel like from my from where I'm sitting, the view from here, if you will, is that the politicians involved in this presidential election are also more bland. And the it's like now we know what we're getting with the Trump people. And it's almost I get the sense that like because we know what we're getting, because we know how bad it is. And so many people, so many Republicans have like denounced Trump. It's like now I think the people who are still riding with Trump, they don't even we don't want to talk to them because like they are not nice people to talk to. And for the other people, I just like I think that you're right that maybe they either just didn't want to be on the show or like maybe the interest wasn't there because maybe they're also kind of bland. I think that The View has been like it feels like they've been focusing on booking more pop culture-y people lately, and I'm okay with that. Like I enjoy the sliming. I enjoy RuPaul Charles. I enjoy Teresa Caputo, and I enjoy many of the other guests that they've had on as of late. And I think that that's fine if currently they want to like not think about how horrible things could be if Trump wins and just have a little bit of fun before it gets like to the point where they have to talk about it, you know?
Yeah, I do. Like it's I wish that they could have had on Marianne Williamson.
I wish too. And like I just don't think that they get her like we do.
No. Like many people do, not yeah. just us crazy fools. You know I'm always saying us crazy fools.
My screen froze and it's been I'm making the funniest face. Can you see it? Can you see it?
I took a screenshot.
God, it was so good. Oh my god, that's good. I didn't even look human. I looked like a Muppet. I can't even remember what I was talking about.
We were talking about Marianne Williamson and how we wish that we had her. And I said, us crazy fools.
And then the craziest foolish thing that could happen happened. Yeah, they just don't get her like we do. And that's sad because I really think that that would be a great segment. Mm-hmm. I also think that they could like think outside the box with her and like, what if they did an outdoor segment where they're like going bird watching with Marianne Williamson or like, or like learning how to like cook on a campfire with Marianne Williamson. I just like think those are really good ideas. We're just full of ideas today. And
I know.
And if that's not ready, if The View isn't ready to do that, then maybe there's a movie there too.
Actually, that like that kind of inspired an idea that like they should do to get through this election. Like, mm-hmm. you know how we always complain that we don't really like listening to them talk about the election? Uh-huh. To get through this, to make it a little easier, what if they just started having them like cook like while they talk or like do crafts like while they talk about it or like, you know,
stitch and bitch
or quilting or like dance or like working out or like fixing a car, you know? Yeah. Today we're gonna show you how to change your oil while we discuss whether Biden will win the election.
That's really good.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of like how when you're scrolling TikTok, there'll be, like, the video, but then sometimes it's, like, duetting, yes. like, a video about slime or, like,
yes.
really satisfying, like, things that fit perfectly inside
cutting
other things. Cutting
soap or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They could be doing stuff like that while discussing the election.
Do you think that Teresa Caputo and Marianne Williamson have ever, without Googling, do you think they've ever like had a conversation or something?
Like through, in their dreams, yes. Mainly through dreams.
On another plane.
Yeah.
On a higher plane.
Not in plane. This dimension. No.
You're right. That was a stupid question.
But I'm realizing as we're talking about how they should like do activities while they talk.
Mm-hmm.
Drop the topic. We got a new segment that we'd never seen before that was truly like so inspired. What like just just trying something new. They did this segment called Drop the Topic, where a topic dropped from the sky attached to a rope, which then Brian ran onto the stage and unclipped the topic and handed it to Whoopi. What did you think about this new topic that they did one time and then we never saw again?
I think that there's, like, I have some notes.
Me as well.
I think that they shouldn't give up. But I think that they didn't really introduce what was happening. They kind of were like, so we had a topic and no one wanted to do it. So now we're going to do Drop the Topic. What was the topic that no one wanted to do? That's my first question. I think that's interesting.
Well, I think you know, because didn't Whoopi then proceed to just do that topic anyway? Like, by the end of the topic, they were just talking about
exactly.
the other topic.
But that's why, why I feel like that should be clarified from the beginning so that then we can, like, compare it in our minds and be like, would that have been better or not? And then I think that, I mean, I don't know. I want to hear your notes.
Well, so my first note is the delivery of the topic, because I love the theatrics of it coming down from the sky. However, when it came down, Whoopi didn't get up to unclip the topic. And instead, Brian immediately ran on the stage to do it. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like, we didn't have enough time to really, like, take in that something had fallen from the sky.
Right.
And I think maybe Whoopi, it should be, there, no one should have to unclip the topic.
No.
I think maybe it should come down in, like, an Easter basket.
Yes.
And then Whoopi could just reach in the basket and pull out the topic. So that's, like, my first note is, like, on the delivery, like, how it...
The physical, the literal delivery.
The physical plane. Okay. So then I think why it kind of fell flat in the discussion, and apart from, like, that Whoopi wasn't, like, didn't have the right attitude that day. apart from that, Whoopi needed an attitude adjustment. the topic was, like, I forgot to write it down, but it was, like, would you hike the Appalachian Trail?
It was something like that. It was like, here's the thing. It wasn't really presented as, like, a regular topic. It was like a would you rather. Would you rather go to jail or hike the Appalachian Trail alone?
Right. Which it's like, okay, now they're just going to proceed to answer the question. And it's like, we're just kind of doing, like, the same sort of topic that we always do, but it's just a little bit more not topical. What it needed to be, like, they had the right idea of it being, like, a kind of like a dinner party question, but what it needed to be was, like, about the host's personalities and dynamics. So it should have been like, who at the table do you think is the most likely to do this, or, like, which co-host would you choose to help you bury a dead body? And then Sunny has to be like, well, I would choose Anna because blah, 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 or whatever. Or it should have been like, who at the table do you trust the least? And why? Like, it needed to be about their dynamics.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And because also, like, I think that the would you rather thing is, like, fun in, like, an icebreaker dinner party kind of way. But, like, not everyone was in the mood to play that kind of game. And so some people were just like, no, neither. Like, why would I do that? No.
It should have been like, who at the table has offended you the most in your life? And why?
Who at the table has disappointed you in a way that feels personal?
Who here do you think owes you an apology?
Yeah, so I think that those are all great. These are all great notes. A big takeaway from the actual segment that they did is that Sarah wants to go to jail. Sarah was like, I'm actually drawn to the kind of organized, like, routine that I think I would experience in jail, and I don't think it would be that bad. Everyone else was like, okay, I guess if I had to pick, I'd do the Appalachian Trail. Sarah, without hesitation, was like, orange is the new black.
She's like, look at me. I'm a pretty blonde woman wearing a crop top. I'm going to have a good time.
She's like,
You think I'm going to struggle in prison?
Have you seen these arms?
Just her out in the yard lifting weights.
She even said something about that where she was like, well, we would get yard time. Like, why do you know the term? Like, why do you know the lingo already? Like, how much have you looked into this?
What white collar crime are you and Max committing right now that you are prepping to go to jail? Yeah, what did already... he make you sign?
That you've already mentally, like, accepted going to jail. Like, you are already okay with it.
But, like, I need them to not give up on this. I really, really, really need it to come back. It's just, it doesn't mean we have to cancel it. It doesn't mean we have to fire whoever came up with this. We just need to tweak it a little bit and we'll get there. But this is, like, exactly the sort of shit that we always say they need to do on The View to make it fun.
I know. And I really felt like you could tell that they were, like, really trying. And so it's like, okay, don't give up. Like, just because not all of the hosts loved it doesn't mean you need to give it up altogether.
Also, like, drop the topic. It almost sounds like they're going to vote on a topic to not talk about. Oh, my God. What if we got the topics in advance?
Do you mean just us? Or like everyone?
Us as part of the audience. We get the topics in advance and they're like, you can vote on which topic we're not gonna talk about today. And so we as a collective society could be like voting, like we could tell maybe we could force them to not talk about the most important news of the day. And it could be like UFOs, UFOs, UFOs.
What if it's like an American Idol style, like, call in where you call in to vote, and like all week long they tease like five topics, and then on Friday, like, they have to do the topics that we selected.
Yes.
And the topics are Katy Perry getting hit with slime, Fergie doing cartwheels. Tyra Banks foaming at the mouth with rabies.
Debbie Ryan. Anyways, I wanted to talk to you about something personal.
Okay.
No, just kidding. But can I tell you about No Peace, Bitch?
Okay.
So something happened in like February, but I haven't seen or spoken to you. Mm-hmm. In years. So Meghan McCain recently unveiled like her latest catchphrase that is going to be going up there with I'm John McCain's daughter. And okay. Of course, you were at my wedding, Denise.
Yeah.
Do you remember who Carrie Lake is? And I'm realizing as I'm saying it, like, is it Carrie Lake or is it Carrie Lake?
I think it's Carrie.
It's Mariah Carey.
No relation to Ricky Lake.
Yeah. So she was like, I think she was like an election denier, and she was running to be governor of Arizona in the litter box known as Arizona. And when she was running, like, this is in the past, when she was running, she was like running her mouth and talking a lot of shit about John McCain. And here's the thing. A McCain never forgets.
That's true.
When she was like campaigning, I got John McCain, who was like dead at this point. She called him a loser, and she like went after Cindy McCain as well. So a couple years later, now Miss Carrie Hilson, is back, and I think she's like trying to get a Senate. She's like running for Senate now.
Okay.
Because I'll go back. The race. The gubernatorial race that she was in.
Yes.
To become governor. She lost that after talking shit about John McCain.
Okay.
Now she's back. She's running for Senate. And she's like realized, I guess, that that didn't go so well, talking shit about John McCain. Mm-hmm. And so now she's been doing like interviews where she's been saying like that was a mistake and she regrets that. And she's like fully changed her tune. And Meghan, seeing that, was like, oh, I guess she realized she can't become a senator without us.
Right.
And was like, you know, tweeting about how Carrie was like walking back her comments. Mm-hmm. And then Carrie, she like crafted like the cringiest response to Megan that was like, my dad passed away from cancer too. And then she invited Megan to get a beer, a coffee, or lunch.
Okay.
And pick, and then so that they could pick their brain about how they can work together to strengthen
Arizona.
Yeah. And Megan, seeing that, replied, no peace, bitch.
The thing about a McCain is when they dish on something, it cuts deep. Hence where a McCain deep dish came from.
It does seem that, like, when they cut you off,
it's over.
It is over. As Megan would say, like, if her man ever cheated on them, she would burn their house down and never speak to them again.
Yeah.
And this was the Twitter feud version of burning down Carrie's house.
Mm-hmm.
But just the no peace, bitch. No one does it like her.
No. Have you listened or watched any more of her content? Because I really thought after seeing the first episode of the YouTube show that maybe I would like kind of just poke my head in and see how things were going with the other episodes. But truth be told, I haven't done that. So I don't actually know how things are going.
So I haven't watched Citizen McCain again, but I did listen to her podcast just to get the news, just to get my news.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, but I'm being reminded right now that someone sent me a message like today or sent us a message on Deja the View,
mm-hmm,
saying that Citizen McCain is already canceled. And I meant to, you know,
oh my God,
confirm that before hopping on mic.
I guess, I mean, Rosie was on a 1-year contract and Megan was on a 1-month contract, it seems.
At YouTube.
Well, that was going to be my second question is like, how do you get canceled if you're putting on YouTube? But I guess, obviously, there's like, it's funded by some production company. I mean, I kind of thought maybe it was literally just Megan like funding this, but I guess not.
Well, how do you get canceled if your show is in partnership with X? And yet,
we had a whole segment about that. Yeah.
I fell down like a, well, I didn't fall. It was, I jumped. I leapt into a Don Lemon hole.
Mm-hmm. As you're not the first, nor will you be the last. Let me just say that.
Yeah, because he's been doing like this press tour discussing, I guess he had, so I didn't know about this. As I said, I get my news from Megan McCain has entered the chat and that's it. And she wasn't talking about this. So I didn't know this. But I guess he had a distribution partnership with X to launch a new show,
mm-hmm,
since getting fired from CNN. And I think the first episode was like this interview that he did with Elon Musk, where he like asked Elon like tough questions. It didn't, mm-hmm, go so well. And then Elon suddenly cut ties with Don Lemon after this. And like some of the things that Don asked him about were like about hate speech on Twitter and like the great replacement theory.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, so now he's like doing this big press tour because the show is still going. It wasn't exclusively living on X, but X was like, it was a distribution deal, whatever that means.
And because they were going to like host it for like the first 24 hours, I think. And then after 24 hours, it was going to be like on all platforms.
Okay. So it's still going. And he's kind of using this controversy of getting fired by X and, mm-hmm, now to like do his press tour and promote the show.
Yeah.
I'm so intrigued by the fact that this man is like besties with Sunny and Anna, and then, as we found out recently, is also one of Joy's gay best friends. And yeah. I just find that so intriguing because, like, I think Don Lemon is such a messy man. And it's just very interesting to me that this messy man is doing this very messy press tour.
Yeah.
And stops by The View to see his good Judy's and talk about what happened.
This is also the second press tour of his in the last year that is based purely on being fired from something. Like, this is two press tours that he's managed to do off of being laid off and let go. And so it's like, I guess he just has learned how to, like, this is his thing now. This is his branding.
Mm-hmm. I just find him very, like, untrustworthy as, like, as a journalist. Because, like, that's how he refers to himself. But really, he's, like, a commentator. Like, it's, I don't have anything against him, but I also, like, just find, like, particularly when discussing what happened with this Elon Musk thing, he seems, like, kind of phony.
Well, the reason why I got that same impression was because when he was on The View and they were talking about this, they were, like, having, like, inside conversations and referencing things that we were not privy to, nor would we be allowed to find out what they're talking about, because they kept being like, oh, like, what did you say? And then he'd be like, I don't know, I texted it to you. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. What are you talking about? Like, I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt, but then the fact that they were, like, speaking, like, in little inside jokes about something that is, like, supposed to be taken seriously, I was like, this is, like, this isn't Sunday brunch. Like, tell us what's happening. Tell us what you said. I want to know what you said.
I know. And then, like, Alyssa, who's not one of his besties, is like, so did you ask Elon, like, if he's going to plan on supporting Trump? And he was like, oh, you'll have to watch the show.
I know. He was like, you're going to have to watch, Alyssa. And she was like, what? And he was like, I'm just teasing. Yeah, yeah, no, he did tell me. He did tell me. I'm just a little joke for you there. Like, this isn't really how these shows go.
Yeah. I don't understand what's going on here with him. I feel like he hasn't done the therapy to, like, resolve, like, what happened to him at CNN.
Yeah.
And he still wants to be in the spotlight and still wants to have a TV show. And he stooped so low as to work with Elon Musk. And then it didn't go well.
But now he seems to be, like, trying to make his show more famous by being like, I was so hard on Elon that I got fired. And, like, do what you gotta do. But I don't know. I think, like, I agree. I don't look at him and think journalist anymore. I think, like, TV personality. And it's like, I almost think that it's like the Andy Cohen-ification of TV personalities, where, like, they're like, it's okay to be messy and it's still, everything's fine. But, like, sometimes it's not. And sometimes you get sued by Brandy Glanville.
Did you see that Jenny McCarthy got roped into Brandy Glanville's? Oh, my God. Because I think Jenny was a guest on Watch What Happens Live.
Yes.
And I think what happened is Brandy, like, tweeted during the show. And she was like, because part of her, Brandy's claims against Andy is that he, like, offers the guest blow. Or that he's offered her blow or something. I'm not Don Lemon. I'm not a journalist. I'm not sure exactly. and she tweeted that when she was a guest on Watch What Happens Live with Jenny McCarthy, that Jenny McCarthy, in the middle of the show, took, like, the longest bathroom break
10 minutes
ever.
They stopped down the show for 10 minutes for Jenny McCarthy.
She was like, I've never seen anyone do that. And I guess she's trying to say that Jenny was doing coke.
For 10 minutes in the bathroom.
For 10 minutes. So, a lot of lines.
She might have also just had diarrhea. I don't think that's a topic anyone wants to discuss. But I'm just putting it out there. It happens. But, you know, back to Don Lemon. Yeah, like, I think that what I saw in The View was, like, more of a TV personality. And that's okay.
I think what I'm struggling with is, like, I've seen him in some interviews. Like, on The View, it seemed like he was being pretty straightforward. Like, yeah, they offered me a lot of money. It was a big platform. They gave me a sweet deal. So I made a deal with the devil. I just said, fuck it, and made this show. Mm-hmm. But then I see him, like, in other interviews being, like, almost, like, self-righteous. Like, being, like, I just thought it was so important, like, why would we cede this platform to the right-wing extremists?
He said that on The View, too.
Oh, okay.
He said that on The View. He was like, why would we just cede the platform to all of these, like, conspiracy theorists and stuff? Like, I'm an independent. People, I'm sure Elon Musk thinks I'm on the left, but I'm an independent, and I just want to stand up for freedom of speech. Okay, but were you standing up for Alyssa's freedom of speech when she asked you the question and you laughed in her face?
But it's like, what? But all at the end of the day, like, you're just, like, making Elon Musk richer. True. By trying to make this show make money.
That's true.
He was hoping that by him coming back to X, that his audience of centrists, mm-hmm, would follow him back to X and, like, make it, like, a better place of like-minded people. Mm-hmm. That just sounds silly. Like, what are you talking about? Like,
I feel like I remember this interview happening on a day when Whoopi wasn't there. Am I correct?
Yeah, you're correct.
I just think that if Whoopi had been there and it hadn't have just been, like, Don Lemon's best friend group, then I just think that maybe we would have got a little more, like, serious interview. And I know that we're always saying, like, oh, they should have more fun on The View, but, like, not in this segment. Not now. There's a time and place. It's when you're being slimed. It's not when you're talking to Don Lemon.
I honestly would have liked to hear more of what Sarah thinks, as someone who probably has a lot of inside information on Don Lemon, but also is not Don Lemon's friend.
Right.
I don't know.
I just want to know what they actually talked about in their texts, because that was probably a lot funnier and more entertaining than the kind of watered down version that we got in The View. Secondly, I just want to read a YouTube comment that was on this segment, and it's from someone named Finn9919. And I don't want you to take this personally, but I just have to report the facts. This is what they said. The View. 5 Karens and 1 Kevin. Finally, they had a guest that's undeniably more smug than themselves. I didn't know that Kevin was, like, the male equivalent of Karen.
Doesn't bother me, because there is one Karen on The View panel, and she is a fucking EGOT, so...
So, and honestly, her name is
Karen Elaine Johnson.
5 Karens and 1 Kevin actually sounds like the perfect panel.
What else happened on The View? Oh, can we talk about the Pope?
Okay.
They had a little extra time at the end of the show the other day, and... So they come back from commercial, and Whoopi's like, Alyssa, like, you wanted to tell us about a play that you saw? And Alyssa's like, yeah, like, I just saw the most amazing show. It was, Jeremy Strong was in it. It's called Enemy of the People. You've got to go see it.
And they clearly had prepared to talk about it, because, like, production had the still of, like, the poster, you know, like, it was a planned thing for her to, like, mentioned this show. But then I don't think that Joy, like, fully understood what was happening and that this was, like, a planned thing, because then Joy is like, I think she just thought they were, like, trying to kill time. So she's like, oh, hey, like, oh my god, I saw a show too. I have something that I can mention too. I saw Doubt. Brilliant, brilliant show. And, like, she mentions, like, the guy who was in it, and it's like, we should have him on. Brilliant show about the Catholic Church sexual abuse scandals and cover-ups. And then Whoopi, like, doesn't, without missing a beat, is like, speaking of the Catholic Church. And Joy's like, huh? And Whoopi's like, our good friend... The Pope.
Pope Francis.
Crisis has a new book out. And Joy goes, oh, bad timing.
It's like they're doing a sitcom. Like The View is a sitcom.
It couldn't have been worse or better, depending on how you looked at it. And then Whoopi, like, tells the audience about their good Judy, Pope Francis, and his new book, and that everyone's getting a copy. And it all happened so fast, and I was watching the episode in real time, and it happened so fast that I couldn't process what I had just seen. And I felt like when the show ended, me and Joy were on the same, we were in the same place.
Yeah. I'm sure that there was something else that was supposed to be said to give context that they ran out of time to say because Joy started talking about the Catholic Church and doubt. Mm-hmm. Because all we got from Whoopi was like, you're all going home with the book because he's a friend.
No further explanation.
Right. Apart from, like, we know that Whoopi met the Pope, like, last summer.
And, like, why is the Pope, like, what is he looking to gain from promoting his book on The View?
Like why did the Pope?
He's the Pope. Like, why is he, like, needing to increase, like, view? Why is he looking to increase
sales? Are low.
His fan base. Like, isn't his fan base every Catholic? Doesn't he have the biggest population of fans already? Like, how does it get bigger? Like, what does he think these people watching the last 3 minutes of The View are, like, gonna make a difference?
Like, you packed up like 300 books and mailed them to Whoopi Goldberg's house and said, would you mind passing these out for me after the show, friend?
It felt like we were given religious propaganda, like we're leaving the mall and someone's handing out pamphlets in the parking lot. That's what it felt like. It was like, why? Like, the Pope is not a guest on the show. He's not doing anything, like, that you would typically get reasons why you'd get a book at The View. Typically, it includes an interview or some type of more context and not just, like, a throwaway at the end because you're the Pope.
Imagine they just handed out Bibles.
It felt like that. Like, that's actually what it felt like.
If Alyssa, okay, say like Alyssa or any of the conservative panelists one day were just like, by the way, Elizabeth Hasselbeck is like, by the way, I read this amazing book last night. It's called The Bible. And you're all going home with a copy. Like, can you imagine? Like, the news reports and the think pieces and hot takes that would come out, the outrage. But then, like, Whoopi hands out the Pope's book and we're just like, there she goes again.
Like, what tea does the Pope have that it has to be put in a memoir? Like, how I thought honest... you meant
like he has Whoopi's tea. Like, he has something on Whoopi and is like, you better hand out these motherfucking books.
Maybe, like, what
he has her tea.
What is the Pope allowed to talk about that would be so interesting that it should be in a book? Like, what is the Pope writing a tell-all about that isn't already covered in Doubt? Let me ask you that. You know what I mean? So it's like, I just don't get it. I don't get it. And I don't, and everyone else, I felt bad for Joy because it felt like they were mad at Joy for ruining the moment. And it's like, okay, sorry that Joy was trying to just have a normal conversation about she Broadway. Was
like, sorry for spilling.
I also just, like, this is such a minor thing in the grand scheme of that whole moment, but, like, the way that Joy thought that she was the first person to tell us about Doubt, like, there wasn't a movie starring Meryl Streep. Huge movie starring Meryl Streep like a Oscar nominated movie that I really liked. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, you've got to check it out. It's called Doubt.
This moment was a really like bold reminder of why you cannot turn off The View before it's ended. Like you have to
yes.
You have to stick with it.
Like, I know we talk a lot about watching the YouTube clips, mm-hmm. but it is so much more value in watching it live.
Because I would have missed it if I hadn't have been watching live, because God knows they were never going to put that on YouTube.
No, this is the good stuff does not make it to YouTube.
If you're only watching the YouTube, you're only getting half the story.
What else did you want to talk about? I think
we should talk about Oprah Winfrey.
Yes.
Talking about weight shaming and
yes.
And
shame, blame,
Ozempic
and the weight loss revolution. I can't believe she did not say and the weight loss game.
Mm.
Like I thought we were rhyming. What happened?
What happened? I thought to we were rhyming, doing Dr. Seuss.
I thought yeah. this was Seussical. But yeah, this was an interesting segment that they did about how Oprah did a special recently called Shame, Blame, and the Weight Loss Revolution. And she talked about struggling with her weight in the spotlight and like her weight being made fun of over the years. Mm-hmm. And talks about like starving herself and wheeling out that wagon of fat and then gaining it back. And Whoopi on The View, like Whoopi kind of just phrased it as like, is this a new issue? Like more general conversation about weight loss. Mm-hmm. But the real like tea from that special is that Oprah opened up about taking weight loss drugs like many celebrities mm-hmm. that has like the same, it's basically Ozempic. The one that she was on is Wegovy, I think.
Mm-hmm. My takeaway from this segment is everyone's on Mounjaro. Mm-hmm. Every person is on Mounjaro. People legally can say that they're not taking Ozempic. Because they're taking Mounjaro.
I love seeing, like, because like, what happened was, like, Sunny opened up about being on Mounjaro and Whoopi opened up about it. But I loved seeing how, like, you can tell that, like, Whoopi took it and then recommended it to Sunny, probably. Like, you can see how they ended up on the same medication.
And Mounjaro is the one that Rosie O'Donnell is on as well. And I don't think that they were, I don't think they were sharing medical advice.
No, but they share a hairstylist. Like it's all connected.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
And hairstylists talk.
More on that later. But you're so right. You're so right. So oh my god, maybe it is all connected, because I didn't know about Mounjaro, and then I was listening to an episode of Rosie's podcast. This probably came out like 6 months ago, and she was talking about taking Mounjaro and how it really helped her life. And I was like, I listened to that podcast episode, and I kind of was like, oh, like maybe people taking it is not, like maybe this is a great thing. She really like convinced me that it was great. But now I've kind of shifted back to thinking that, and I'm not talking about the women on The View, I'm mostly just talking generally speaking, I think that some people dabble in Mounjaro and Ozempic a little too hard without knowing how big their head is. And I'm not talking about Rosie either. But I just think that there needs to be some caution taken with these drugs, because not everyone has the same size of head. And sometimes when people are using these drugs for a very long time, it's evident based on the size of their head relative to their bodies.
It has to also partially be like, because we're used to seeing celebrities like look a certain way, and then mm-hmm. all of a sudden they look
so quickly.
Yeah.
Like I was really surprised about Whoopi and Sunny, and I think it's because they haven't had that like full Bratz doll transformation, whereas I think other celebrities have gone full Bratz doll, and so it's like very evident that they're taking it. But that's why I said my takeaway from this segment was like everyone's on Mounjaro, because even the people who you never would have suspected, they are also on it.
Yeah, it's very, we're at a very interesting time because I feel like there's been so much work done. First, there was like a body positivity movement, mm-hmm. and then people were like, actually, no, like, we need a body neutrality movement, and we need to start, like, being neutral about bodies and not put, like, positive yeah. or negative on things like weight. And then now so many people are on, like, so many celebrities are on weight loss drugs. But obviously, if someone wants to take that and it's legal and healthy, go off, do your thing.
I appreciate the honesty, like, for the people who are taking it. I do appreciate the honesty because I think if there's a big negative effect on society, like if there's a trickle down to from famous people to regular people, it's that the people are lying and then regular people are like, oh my God, like how did they lose all this weight and I can't lose weight through diet and exercise. So I think that the famous people who are being honest about it, I appreciate that.
I could see people in the comments probably hating on Sunny and Whoopi, and especially Sunny because Sunny talked about how she gained 40 pounds before mm-hmm. she started taking this. So I could see people being like, oh, you don't need to be taking that, mm-hmm. or like saying that she's taking the easy way out. But it's not about them, like the View co-hosts saying that they are doing the right thing or wrong thing. It's about them sharing and being authentic and being like, I have access to this and I want to mm-hmm. take it, so I'm going to take it. The same way that Sunny was like, I got a little bit of liposuction when I got my boobs done.
Right. Yeah, like I think the honesty, it makes a bit of a difference because otherwise everyone just like thinks that this is, that it's like so easy and achievable to look this way, and then people are like, well, why can't I do it?
Mm-hmm.
I think the big controversy and the reason why so many people still don't want to like admit that they're taking it is because of diabetics who need it not having access or having limited access to it because of like the surge in popularity with it. And I think that that's still an issue in certain like places in North America, from what I can tell, because a lot of the comments, if you look on any like social media post about Ozempic or about these weight loss drugs, so many of the comments are people being like, my cousin can't get her diabetes, like, you know, medication because of like Khloe Kardashian. So it's like, yeah, that's a very real controversy. And I think that's why a lot of people don't want to talk about it. So I don't know.
Yeah, like that is a controversy, but like, is that true, or is that just one of those things that people say? Like,
I don't know, and I'm inclined to believe it's true. I know that it was true at the very beginning because, like, if you're making these drugs, you're making them for a certain amount of need, right? And so then when the need surges and it's like not for with its original intended purpose, then you are taking it away from like the people who did need it for that. I don't know if it's still an issue because I feel like now that it is such a well-known thing, I would assume that they would just be making more of it to go around, but I don't know. I also like have heard rumors and nastiness about how like the markets are being flooded with FDA approved.
Oh, like
knockoffs, and that a lot of people are taking the knockoffs, and that like we don't know what these effects are going to have on people. I think it's a big mess. I don't know.
It just feels like in the States, like you could literally just like send a text message to Dr. Manjiro and he would be like, right away, miss.
to Dr. Dilf.
To Dr. Dilf. And Stormy Daniels would be like, your prescription is on exactly. the way. But maybe you can do that in Canada too, but I just find, I don't know.
Since we don't actually know, if a listener out there is like, yeah, I actually am having trouble getting access to medication because of all of these fuckers, tell us, because I would like to know what is really going on.
If you would like to reveal your personal medical information to Deja the View Pod and our listeners, please send a DM, as always, to Sean Ross.
let us know if this is actually something that is that we should be worried about, because I truly believe it was a really bad issue, and I just don't know what the current state of the medical world is and if it's still an issue. That being said,
I get my news from two places. Meghan McCain has entered the chat and she hasn't talked about this yet. And TikTok. And if I don't see it there, I don't see it.
Yeah. That being said, something that I do know is that Alyssa brought up a point that I actually found terrifying. So she said, like, if, because they were kind of talking about, like, what if everyone were to just go on these drugs? What would it do to our society? Would it be a good thing? Joy was kind of saying, like, well, then maybe it wouldn't be on trend to, like, be skinny anymore because everyone would be skinny. And then Alyssa is like, it could drive out of business these fast food restaurants. That sent a chill down my spine. A world where McDonald's, Wendy's, Harvey's, Taco Bell, Burger King, Dairy Queen, a world where those divas don't exist.
You don't exist.
I want out. I'm gone.
And kudos for saying that. For spilling.
Speaking of spilling, RuPaul.
Who spilled now?
RuPaul made his first appearance on The View. And I believe I am correct in saying this, his first appearance since the 1997 appearance on The View.
No.
You better take it from somebody.
No. I'm laughing, you guys. Because no, because we've sat on this podcast and had this, the exact conversation that you are about to open up. We definitely have discussed RuPaul coming on The View.
For the first time since 1997.
For the first time since 1998.
No, really?
Yeah. Yeah, like for sure, but... But thank you. Kudos for saying that.
Okay. RuPaul made his second appearance since 1997. You better take it from somebody.
Dr. Manjiro handing Whoopi and Sunny the medication.
Stop. That was a really... The audience of The View has not given a standing ovation to a guest like that. I don't think ever. I think I saw that it was actually longer than the standing ovation that Obama got on The View.
The reverence. It's funny because, like, to gay people have kind of canceled RuPaul, even though I'm not sure that that is justified. But
because
straight
of
the fracking. But straight people give RuPaul the treatment that you would think that gay people would give RuPaul.
Yeah. I think that gay people still love RuPaul. I think it's a case of, like, when you have something that's great and you start to take it for granted.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that people just take for granted all of, like, these shows and all of this, like, all of the things that RuPaul has given us. I think gay people have started to take that for granted. And then I think when RuPaul went on The View, the audience was like, the audience of, I'm assuming, mostly Sarah's close personal friends and family.
Sarah's people.
Were like, finally a guest worth standing up for. And yeah. Gave RuPaul the longest standing ovation. Whoopi had to, like, settle. Like, Whoopi had to be like, okay, like, enough.
I love, like, the connection that Whoopi and RuPaul seem to have, where they are a couple of like-minded freaks. Like, they give... It's like they can communicate with just a look, and that look is saying, preach, bitch.
Yeah. It was also, like, it was a really long interview, and... It was like a 12-minute clip on YouTube. They don't do that for a lot of people. They will often split that shit up and put it in a couple of videos.
Yeah.
They reserve the 10-minute plus videos for the true iconic moments, and this got it.
Yeah, RuPaul and the guy from Double Dare.
Yeah. Exactly.
Have you been, like, following along with this RuPaul, like, book promotion tour? Like, did you listen to RuPaul on Call Her Daddy?
I saw, like, the social media clips, but I haven't listened. I'm not, like, a Call Her Daddy listener. I'm not sure what that is. I know that it's a popular podcast, but I just never thought that it was for me. But then I saw that the most recent guests were RuPaul and Megan Fox, and I thought maybe it's for me.
I don't listen to Her Daddy either, but I listened to the RuPaul episode. Mm-hmm. The book ends before Drag Race starts. Mm-hmm. There's more book.
There's coming. More book. There's surely there's more book.
Did you know that RuPaul is doing a book tour and they're coming to Toronto?
I did know that. And aren't they going to be in Toronto on the date of the eclipse?
I don't know, but did you know that the eclipse is, like, in Libra? So it fucks my shit up.
It's a total eclipse. It's a total eclipse, and the sun will be completely and totally eclipsed if you're in the right path. Do you have your glasses?
I will be with RuPaul when it all goes down. If all goes according to plan, I will be with RuPaul Charles.
And do you know what RuPaul is going to say when he sees your UV glasses? You better take it from somebody. I recently saw, I think it was a Twitter thread that was like, what's an incident where a host got, like, completely ate up by their guest? Mm-hmm. And the replies were just only that video.
Really?
Yeah.
There are some, like, old videos of The View that really have resurfaced in a big way, like, in the last 5 years. Like, the Kelly Osbourne, like, this mm-hmm. RuPaul one. Like, there's just a few that just out of nowhere you see every day now.
I tried, because I rewatched You Better Take It From Somebody today, and I feel like we're only getting half the story, because they mention, like, RuPaul mentions that Joy was on the RuPaul show, and, like, that's kind of where the beef started. I looked on the internet today to try to find that video, because I wanted to know what the hell happened on that show that set them both off, and I could not find it. The only clips I could find from the RuPaul show were Lil' Kim and Pam Grier.
You couldn't find Cher?
I could not find Cher.
Aww. Wait, what's your favorite RuPaul song, old era?
What do you mean by old era?
Like, hasn't come out in the last 5 years. Let's Why? Answer at the same time.
No, but I feel like this is a setup.
It's not. I just want to see what would happen if we said 3, 2, 1.
In the last 5 years?
Okay. What's your favorite brand new RuPaul song? 3.
No, wait, two. wait. No, you know that I have bad memory and I need to look up the titles of things. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, your favorite new era RuPaul song? 3, 2, 1. Courage
just
to
what
love.
They want. Why? What was the purpose of this exercise?
I don't know. Ever since they did the remix of Courage to Love mm-hmm. on this season of Drag Race, it's my song, and they never put it on Spotify.
So where do you listen to it?
I literally walk to work, which is like a 20 to 30 minute walk, uh-huh. with my TikTok open, just listening to them do that challenge over and over again as I walk to work.
Do you think they didn't put it on because it's like a 16 minute long song? And they thought no one's going to listen to this.
It's not 16 minutes.
The version from this season.
Yeah, it's not the one that was, like, the voting anthem.
Oh.
It's the one that was, like, the girl group challenge.
Oh.
Clearly it was more memorable for me than for you.
The voting anthem actually has not been... It won't leave my brain. It's all I can think about. And specifically, all I can think about is Q in it. and how Q, like, perfectly embodied the essence of, like, you know, in every like, big musical number, like, We Are the World, like, every, like the Stand Up for Cancer, you know, like, every thing where they combine all of these, like, musical artists who shouldn't really be in the same room together, there's always, like, one person who really doesn't fit in, but they are just, like, selling it. Like, they're taking up space and they're selling it, and you can't take your eyes off of them. And that was what Q was like in that number, and I haven't stopped thinking about it.
That is wild. I don't feel that way,
because I'm joking. That came out. And they came out, and I thought, what? She's doing Liza. What's she doing Liza for this? And it just, like, really stuck with me.
So why do you, like, they want to see you let it out? I want to see you go off.
I'm obsessed with that song. I'm obsessed with it. And you've heard me do it. When we do karaoke and the time comes where we've sung all the songs there are to sing according to the karaoke establishment, and they turn the power off on the karaoke machine, but the microphones still work. Typically, we do Halo. And then also recently I've added Just What They Want.
Acapella version. Because they want to see you
let it out.
They want to see you go off. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Elizabeth, Beyonce, Gisele Carter-Knowles? Because, like, this is just getting good.
About anything?
They want to see you let it out.
I have some micro moments to let out.
Okay, I don't.
You better take it from somebody. I have some micro moments that I can just fly through really quickly.
Let's hear them.
Number one,
Miss Ma'am.
Dr. Jennifer Aniston was on the show.
She came on to let them have it. She came on The View mad as hell.
And, like, what didn't she talk about? The amount of topics that they covered with her went from IVF, Wendy Williams, norovirus. They just covered it all. I'm surprised they didn't talk about doubt.
They were like, we will never get a doctor in the room with us again that isn't Dr. Mangiero, and we need to ask everything.
They were like, this was like their medical checkup. They came with questions. But what stuck out to me in all of that was when Jennifer Aniston said, hand sanitizers are not great for penetrating the viral envelope of the norovirus. And I'm always saying that. Mm-hmm. So for a doctor to say it was validating to me. I felt it in my chest. Yeah. Another micro moment from the last few weeks was when they were talking about Jason Kelsey and him, like, retiring. This is the brother of Taylor Swift's boyfriend. And I guess in his speech, he said he made an All Too Well reference. And Alyssa was like, oh my God, like, Taylor Swift. And the panel was like, huh?
They were like, that Trisha Paytas, like, huh? Oh, okay.
But then they were talking about, like, when people retire, or, like, what you miss. And, like, Sunny was so quick to bring up to Joy that she had gotten fired before. She kept being like, well, you got fired. Well, no, but you got fired. Like, egging Joy to talk about it. But then Joy said something that actually made headlines. It was like her being this sentimental was so shocking to people that it made headlines around the world. Because she said, when I leave this show, it will not be. Well, I think she was speaking about, like, what she'll be sad about. And so she said, when I leave this show, it will not be because I'm worried about my future. It will be because I'll miss my friends.
Yes. And then they were all like, oh.
Sarah hugged her. They embraced Sarah, hugged her, and Joy didn't, like, push her away.
But here's the thing. I read it as Joy sure, maybe she meant the co-host as well, but I took it as, like, the people behind the scenes. And I feel like the co-host took it as
them.
This play is about us.
Yeah. And then Whoopi was, like, so struck by Joy's newfound sentimentality that she had, like, no reaction and then was like, I'm just looking for the thing of lightning. Like, lightning will strike because, like, this is... Joy is unwell. Another micro moment featuring Whoopi was when they were talking about the new Anne Hathaway movie where she plays, like, a quote-unquote cougar, which is based on a One Direction fan fiction, by the way.
Didn't know that.
And they were talking about age differences in relationships, and Whoopi said, one of the last relationships I had, he was 40 years older than me. I had to do the math on this. I had to know, how old are we talking about here? Whoopi is currently 68 years old. So assuming that this was in the last eight years.
She's 68?
That's what Google said. Assuming that this relationship she's talking about was in the last 8 years, that puts this guy at like 100. Like, that can't be real. That cannot be real.
Oh my god, I had to see it for myself. Yeah. She literally is 68 years old.
Yeah.
She looks incredible.
This panel is aging like... I know that the saying is like fine wine, but it's even better than that.
They're Benjamin...
They're Benjamin... Bottoming. Exactly. Another micro moment was when they were talking about, you know, that weird video that Katie Britt made? Yes. They were talking
State of the Union response.
Yeah, they were talking about that. And Joy said, I haven't seen acting that bad since my wedding night.
We've heard that one before, but we'll take it.
And then I saw this YouTube comment that I'm just presenting this. They said, it was Stepford Wife meets Handmaid's Tale and a healthy dose of Kabuki theater.
Joy's wedding night? Oh, the State of the Union response.
But that's what Joy would have said. I have another moment. I have one more micro moment, and then I have one micro moment that's actually so salacious, so fiery, that it deserves a bit of build up.
A maxi moment.
A maxi pad. So before we get to that, this was when they were reacting to the very, very sad and grim Wendy Williams docuseries, and Sunny said, I was part of the Free Britney movement.
True. She was one of the lawyers. True. She drafted the papers.
She was the paralegal who left the first voicemail. The whistleblower. The one who started it all. Okay, remember earlier in the show when we were talking about them all having the same hairdresser? And I said, more on that later. Okay, so they were doing this segment about could gossiping be good for you? And they were talking, it kind of just like launched into them talking about how like sometimes there's good gossip and sometimes there's bad gossip. Sometimes the gossip is like just people telling lies and rumors and nastiness. And then they were saying like, sometimes if you suspect of someone spreading rumors and nastiness, what you can do is tell someone something that's not true. And you can tell like a small group of people something that's made up or that's a crazy detail. And then if that detail gets out, then you know who the leaker is. And Whoopi said, we did that to see who was talking. And everyone gave like a knowing look, and she did that like, you know, when she's like talking about something to the co-host specifically, like, you know what I'm talking about, and she gives everyone really like intense eye contact. She did that.
They laid a fucking trap.
And remember when we were like, the insider reveals kind of articles at the Daily Mail seem to have stopped suddenly. And like, what's going on with that? Well, clearly they set a trap and it worked and they got rid of the leaker. And that just like, I felt closure. I finally felt like, okay, well, we solved that one. Like, they knew that there was a leaker. They set a trap and the leaker was removed. And now we said it.
It was the opposite of kudos for saying that, for spilling. What is the opposite of kudos? Fido. Wow. I forgot all about that moment. So thank God you wrote these things down.
I have been sitting on that for...
Sitting?
Weeks.
In your condition? Are you sure about that?
I've been sitting.
Lying flat on your stomach.
I've been leaning, gently leaning on that for weeks.
4 weeks.
Four.
That's how long the recovery time. For anyone wondering, that's why she was gone 4 weeks.
Just as a side note, speaking of people who were missing for 4 weeks, they've been talking about Kate Middleton on The View. And at first it was like reluctant, and now it's almost a daily occurrence. And I'm just like, I'm scared. Who else was scared?
I'm scared, but I just don't like a mystery that much.
Yeah.
So when it's like, we've been over this, like with the Masked Singer, like I don't like having,
for
I don't
you,
like having to like...
For most people, the most interesting part of the show is guessing who it is. For you, that ruins it.
Yeah. Like, I just want to enjoy the performance, the good performances. Mm-hmm. So I don't like a mystery. So the fact that there's this mystery with Kate Middleton, I just try to avoid it. Like, I don't want to engage in it. I try to just, I'm sitting this out. It'll be a cultural blind spot for me. So I don't really, like, enjoy this spilling over into The View because I don't want to hear about it.
It makes me nervous because I like mysteries, but only if they're, like, fictional or if they're within safe boundaries. If there's a possibility that something actually bad has happened, it's not fun for me because it's, like, I don't want to, like, make jokes if there's actually something sinister going on. But I feel like they've finally, at first when they were talking about it on The View, it was, like, no one was really interested in it, but now more and more, like, Sunny is really deep into it. Sarah is finally into it. Like, more and more, it's just become normalized that they do talk about it. To your point about the Masked Singer, if they simply were like, guys, relax, she was literally just filming the Masked Singer. That, to me, would be, like, the most rewarding and safest and best possible outcome in this whole scenario.
Yeah, the idea of, like, Rita Ora critiquing Kate Middleton's singing is a world I would like to live in.
Like, that would be the best possible outcome.
Anything else you want to get off your chest?
I think that's about it for, like, the next 2 months.
Fuck. What are you having done now? Well, listener, thank you for listening. And remember that you can always get in touch with us in our DMs, be it in a message or a voice memo. We welcome them all. Thank you, Marie, for coming back and doing what you had to do and doing it so gracefully.
Thank you for having me.
And until next time, I hope everyone has a great day and takes a little time to enjoy
the new memoir from a dear friend of the show, Pope Francis.
Hit it, Abby.
That's all, folks. See you later. John Hensman, the real job creator.
When I was younger, I was a part-time country music DJ.
We're bringing Huntsman.